are listening to WQ4D Radio, the Inspiring Friends Network. A warm hello to you today from the warm heart of a down-home gal, somewhere in the warm heart of America. This is Prepare for Freedom, show number 24, coming to you live each Wednesday from 2 to 3 p.m. Central Time on WQ4D Radio, the Inspiring Friends Network. You can find us online at www.prepareforfreedom.com and on Facebook at www.facebook.com/prepareforfreedom. My name is Sharon and I'm your host for today's show. Let me now introduce you to my co-host and official Two Cents producer, Billy Bob.
Well, hello there, everybody. How y'all doing today? Hey, do you know it's leaping year today?
Leaping year today.
Yeah. An 84-year-old lady celebrating her 22nd birthday today. It could only come every 4 years.
Wow. Wish I had a birthday on that day.
Me too.
Happy leap year day, everyone. And Billy Bob is just waiting to leap into this show.
Yes, I am. I'm ready.
Well, I promise you, you will be hearing more from him shortly as Billy Bob loves to leap in there and put in his 2 cents worth. Listen to Billy Bob long enough and keep adding up those 2 cents and you will soon be rich. And now, on to the topic of the day. Actually, we've got an above-ground topic and a below-ground topic. Now, how could that be?
Nobody getting buried, are they?
No.
Oh, not in a buried in a hole or tombstone.
Right? Not that I know of. Okay. No, but actually, we are going to go underground and give you some amazing information today, having to do with preparedness.
Oh, okay.
And we're not preparing for our burial here. We are preparing for freedom. Yes.
Oh, wait a minute. Has it got to do with food?
Good guess.
Oh, thank you.
Well,
I give up. Is it a pantry?
A pantry.
Oh, excuse me. I got the word wrong. I was thinking of food. I was thinking of donuts.
You're going to have donuts in a pantry?
Why not?
Well, it's a start. Hey, we're going to have fun today. Yes. In the first half of the show, we're going to talk about something called the old-fashioned pantry. Like I said, we're into common sense here when we're talking about preparing. And so we're going to do some old-fashioned common sense solutions, and we're going to start right at home, right where the food is or where it's supposed to be, which should be in your pantry. Now, what's a pantry, you say? Let me ask the pantry expert over here, Billy Bob. What is a pantry?
A pantry is some place where you actually, in your house, or you find a place in your house, you actually put food in. You put all your canned food in or whatever. You stock up your food there for like an oversupply thing. So you buy so much of this, you put it in your pantry. So everything is right there. You got your potatoes, your onions, your canned fruits, your sugar and all like that right there in that little
all
room.
All handy in one place.
Yeah.
Now, you know, this is something that our grandparents and great-grandparents just did as a matter of common sense. After all, why shouldn't you have a well-stocked pantry? And there's lots of reasons for it. For example, best-selling author Rosemary Brown says, a well-stocked pantry is one of the best keys I know to being able to prepare good meals in a hurry. Having plenty of ingredients tucked away in your refrigerator, freezer, and pantry will add hours to your week. Now, getting all the hairy, scary prepper doomsday stuff out of the way, a really simple question. Who do you know that couldn't use some extra hours in their week and maybe some extra money to go with it?
There ain't nobody I know. I could use some. Could you use some?
I could use some. And I had so much fun rediscovering the old-fashioned pantry. Now, several decades ago, just about every home had a walk-in pantry adjacent to the kitchen. Back then, the economy was primarily rural. People grew, preserved, and stored most of their own food. It took a full day or more just to travel to the nearest store to purchase provisions. In those days, a well-stocked pantry usually meant the difference between living well and living poorly or even starving to death. Now, the need for a well-stocked pantry hasn't changed, but nowadays, people in more technologically advanced areas of the world, and we'd like to think that's where we live, generally depend on and expect the vast global network of supermarkets, superstores, and convenience stores, and I might add to that list fast food restaurants, to provide that well-stocked pantry for them. And most of the time, this public walk-in pantry system works just fine. However, or as Billy Bob would say, but...
Yeah, there's a but in there. It's got a good point and everything. It really does. But, you know, you made me remind me of a story that when I first moved down south from up north, which I didn't know what a pantry really was up there, when I moved down south into the great state of Georgia, I learned what a pantry was, because deep where I lived at with somebody, they lived that way out in the country. It was almost 20 miles to go to the store. They lived that way out in the boondock. So they had a pantry, a walk-in pantry, and it was stocked with food, everything they need. Their freezers were, their cupboard were full, because they could not keep making trips to the store every time they turn around. So that's how I learned about what a pantry, I'm getting tongue-tied here, people. Excuse me. A place to store food.
A pantry.
Pantry. There you go. But it was okay for me to understand because, you know, I said, well, what's all? I didn't understand it. I was only little. I was about 15 years old, 16. And I still didn't understand what was that all about. But when I started growing up, I understand how the importance of it was. So I try to practice it today. And you try to have your little pantry here and all like that. So, you know, you don't have to keep running to town, running to store. You got everything right there.
Yeah, you can almost hear the objections now. Well, I haven't got room. Well, I never know what it is I'm going to have. I'm too busy. Besides, it takes a lot of money to stock up on stuff like that. When the store is so convenient, if I just need it, I just go buy whatever I need. But there is a problem, the big but, as Billy Bob said. People can get so busy, you know, that they forget that this system we talked about, in other words, what we have now that substitutes for the walk-in pantry, you know, the grocery store, the convenience store, et cetera, that this system is not perfect, and it is subject to disruption by things such as civil unrest, labor strife, and natural or man-made disasters. Furthermore, your access to this public walk-in pantry system stops the moment you are unable to pay. So, think about it. What if you suddenly lose your job? What if the major income earner in your household dies or becomes disabled? What then?
Well, the best thing I could say is for you to do is not, you talk about not having the money for it. Do it at a slow pace. When you do got the money, so it don't hit you all at one time. So you don't try to cram everything together. If you moderate yourself and buy a little extra, what little money you do have, hey, pretty soon you got a whole cabinet full of food and your pantry filled up and everything. So when you, if something does happen, hey, it's already there.
Yeah, and one of the biggest things, of course, is just getting started. Now, yes, most people I know of do keep some food in their kitchen and in the fridge and in the freezer. But as far as having an extra room or closet or whatever, it's very possible that some people might not even have thought about that as being an option nowadays. Did you know that it is just as prudent to be prepared with a well-stocked pantry in our homes today as it was for our ancestors? We've got maybe a little bit different problems, but with the price of gas going up, ooh, those trips to the store are getting more and more expensive and more like 100-mile trips. There's a lot of things that are happening in our modern world that even though the technology is great when it works, when it doesn't work, it's all the more disastrous. And we are so fortunate that the modern technology we have does make this crucial task of setting up a pantry so much easier for us to perform than it was for our grandparents, but we still need to do it. And, of course, the first place to go to do it is, well, all right, I don't have any place to store all this stuff anyway. Well, actually, you do. If you have a closet, if you have a room, large or small, it doesn't really matter what size. You have a closet, a cubbyhole, just a place. And it really is important that it's not in the kitchen. It needs to be close to the kitchen, but it needs to be not in the kitchen because you need a place that you're going to be able to temperature control just a little bit better. And kitchens tend to get hot and humid and steamy, and you don't want your things that you've got, your ingredients that you want to keep for a long time, your staples like your rice, your sugar, sugar mixed with humid air. Oh, that's exciting. Powdered sugar, brown sugar, great stuff. Turns into sweet rocks.
Yeah, hard rocks.
Right. So you don't want to have your pantry, your walk-in pantry in the kitchen, and our grandparents knew that. So they found another room, a closet, an indentation in the wall, maybe in down the hall. Hey, that rhymed, an indentation in the wall down the hall. Whatever it takes. Closet usually is the best bet. How many people have too many shoes and too many clothes? Surely there's a closet. Billy Bob just gave me the look, especially women, right?
Oh, yeah, they got more clothes than shoes than they know what to do with.
Right, and some women I know think they need more than one closet to keep it all in. Hey, let's get reasonable about this. Clear out a closet. Give the extra clothes away to charity, the shoes to do something. Let's be reasonable here. Get your space first. You can do this. We can do this. Hey, I did it. We can do it. Get your space. And then say, well, golly, I got to fill all that up. Well, you don't have to fill it all up tomorrow. In fact, there's a really simple way to get started. You can do this over a few weeks, few months, or whatever. First of all, make a list of what it is you and your family eat. Say for 5 days. That ought about right. Just keep track of what you and your family eat, even the fast food. Keep track of everything that you eat. And then at the end of that 5 days, look at your list and say, well, okay, what do I need to make these things? Or what do I need especially to make these things if I have unexpected company coming over? I want to make sure I've got the basics on hand to do this. And then you take your list, and then however often you go to the store, first of all, look at what's on sale. And when you buy on sale, instead of buying one can of soup, if it's the kind you use, like, say, for cooking, like just for example, tomato soup or cream of mushroom soup, don't buy one can. If they're on sale, buy a dozen or buy the small box or a little case of it. So you get a better deal on it. Big Lots, stores like that, they'll have sales on case lots of things. When you've got a walk-in pantry, you've got room to store things in bigger amounts, and you're going to pay less per item. So once you start this, and just every time you go to the store, make sure you've got something on your list that's going to go to the pantry. Let your budget dictate, but make sure that your budget is reasonable, and if you have a choice, say, between spending something maybe you're a little more frivolously and a little more seriously, give some thought to the benefit that you and your family may have by having some extra food stocked away in the pantry that you can quickly make into a meal or just have on hand in case the roads get closed or something stupid happens. Who knows? It could be anything. We're not talking the end of the world here. We're not doomsdayers here. But it really is easy for your end of your world, as you know it, to happen, at least temporarily. It doesn't take much. Power outage.
That one of the biggest things there is, snowed in,
flood. Yeah, ice storms, flood. You know, these things do happen, and these are not things to be unreasonable about. Or, as what happened to me, I was left without a substantial income for some time. Guess what I was eating out of?
Your pantry.
My pantry. I didn't have to spend a penny for food for a couple of months. And believe me, I needed that. It's not a matter of being extreme. It's a matter of having common sense and being practical. Our grandparents, they knew that especially in the winter, it might be a month or two before they could get back to the store. So they just made sure that they had, you might say, their own little general store in their home. That's what we're talking about. You know, you can put other things in that pantry, too. You can be as creative as you want to be, but think about the things you really use. Toilet paper, for example. Oh.
Yeah, you need that.
You need toilet paper, and there's plenty of other things. Yeah, so it's not just food you can put in here. But just think of it as, you might say, your in-home general store, a place, a convenience store, a place where you can go instead of having to run out of the store when you run out of something. And think of it that way instead of, oh, no, the end is coming, and I have to be all stocked up and in my bunker. No, that's not what we're talking about.
You know, we have one little problem. You know, we're talking about a lot of families and all, but, you know, there's one little group of people that really don't pay attention to it because they eat out a lot. It's single people.
Yeah.
They need to start learning how to do this, too. Not only for families and all, even for yourself if you're single, like me, my stepmother. So, you know, you still got to be prepared for things like that, food, toilet paper, water.
Yeah, big one, water.
So, you know, just because you're single don't mean, well, I can go out and eat fast foods and all like that. I'll be all right if we get a snowstorm and all like that. What about you can't move and you're snowed in and you don't have hardly any groceries in your house? Then what?
Yeah.
So single people need to concentrate on this too, because they need to make their little pantry too for themselves.
And actually, they're more vulnerable.
Yeah.
If something should happen, they lose their job or whatever, they are more vulnerable. A family, you've got that support of a family, and I don't know about kids nowadays, but even I think kids still know about stashing forbidden food away under their beds or somewhere a mom can find it.
Hopefully candy.
Yeah, whatever it is, but hey, it's something. I mean, you know, we have a little bit of that pack rat in each of us. Why not put it to use in a good way? And here's an important thing to remember about a pantry. A pantry is not a place, it's an attitude. Oh, I'd love to have a pantry, somebody might say, but my house doesn't have one. Well, guess what? Sure it does. If there is so much as a spare roll of toilet paper tucked underneath the sink, your household has a pantry.
That is correct.
Now, don't confuse storage space with the reality of what we might call the pantry principle. Certainly, it's helpful to have cabinet space for pantry goods, but that's not the pantry. The kitchen is not your pantry. Think of the pantry as a reservoir of consumable goods which may be stored in any area of the home. So, tiny urban apartment or spacious rural farmhouse, all houses can include a pantry. And that includes some houses that may or may not feature a specific storage space labeled pantry. That doesn't matter. A pantry is not a place. It's an attitude.
Well, most of your new houses are being built. Most people are building a pantry in them. Even if you buy a mobile home, they got a pantry already in them. So they're already coming furnished with one for that reason, because people need one. So they're telling people, hey, get a pantry. You know, here it is. Do something with it. Stock it up. Make it where you don't have to go shopping if you live out way out in the country. Be smart about it. Common sense.
Yeah.
And always pay attention to the weather and stuff like that, because a lot of the weather paid a lot of a contribution to what happens to you in life.
Right.
So, you know, if you live in a state or area that got tornadoes, a lot of tornadoes, you listen and you prepare for that. If you're up north, weather up there mostly is snow, blizzards, and all like that. Down south, we get hurricanes and floods. So you got to be prepared wherever you're at. Even out west, I mean, they got their own problems out there. So you got to take wherever situation is of what part of the country you're in to prepare yourself, and you know how to do it.
Yeah, you may have slightly different items in your pantry depending on where you live in the country. And here again, that's only common sense. But here's a key, especially for a beginner. When you're talking about a beginner's pantry, what you want to focus on is convenience. And what you're going to have in that pantry, just think of it very simply, that your pantry is going to have backup products for every storable item used in the home. In other words, not every, like, say, non-perishable item. The standard is simple. For each open bag, box, or carton in the household, the pantry contains a second backup product. And that can include anything from toothbrushes to tortellini. A good first goal, just to get started, figure a 3-day supply of food and hygiene supplies adequate to support your family plus one additional person. Why do you think that would be a good idea? You want to think about supporting you, whether you're a single, your family or household or whatever that is, plus one additional person. What's the wisdom in that?
Well, because there are some people who can't get to get a lot of food like that. Plus, you know, you don't know the circumstances. They could be handicapped. They could be elderly people. They could be homeless people. You just don't know what it is. So I would look at it like this, to help somebody else out that can't help themselves out.
Right. That's one very good reason. During any kind of a family emergency, whether it be death in the family, illness, economic hard times, somebody loses their job, kids need to come home for college, whatever it is, having an extra person planned for means you've got enough extra food on hand to make a bigger meal or meals for a period of time. So that's very wise advice, is to figure, at least to start, have a 3-day supply of food and hygiene supplies on hand to support your family plus one additional person. And, of course, that's just for starters. Now, we then have more goals, say, for a more robust pantry, and we're definitely talking about moving in that direction. Say we have something called a mid-range pantry. That would be one you figure can feed a family for a period of 2 weeks to a month in case of emergency. Here again, don't forget that extra person. Now, this pantry is going to include substitutes for fresh foods, such as powdered milk, dried fruits and vegetables, and protein products. So your mid-range pantry is going to offer convenience and basic protection. And then, of course, you have the longer-term pantries. And this is where you get into the actual subject of food storage, and then you're looking for a multiple-month supply. Now, this will be the subject of a later show, getting into longer-term food storage. The important thing is to start out, get yourself a well-stocked pantry at whatever size you need. Start with a small closet and start building it up in an organized way. Billy Bob, you've had some experience building up your own little pantry. What did you do to make it work? Because I think you know what it means to try and do it on limited income.
Right. What I did was I made a list of what I wanted or needed and how to I spent what I could and stocked up on that little thing at a time. But I caught things on sale, which you brought up earlier in the show, is catch things on sale and buy a quantity of it. You don't go out there and do everything at one time, especially if you're on a limited income. So you just get a little bit at a time. So it helps out. It don't put so much stress on. It didn't put a lot of stress on me, but now it finally builds up, and now finally once you get started with it, you can start seeing it build every time. You get put a little bit back. I mean, don't starve yourself to death, but you could actually start seeing it when you got the extra little money, you get to go shopping, and you just watch everything. It starts to really start to grow. And I learned how to do that, and it works real good. So, you know, you don't have to go out there and decide to go shopping and spend $400 or $500 and say, hey, well, I'm stocked up now. No, just get things on sale. Use your common sense and do it at a slow rate. You'll be surprised at what can happen and how much you can start accumulating when you start doing this, because you're going to need deodorant, toothpaste, toilet paper, water. You're going to need other things. Oh, first aid kit.
Absolutely.
Helps out a lot. Lanterns, little portable stove to cook with, you know, flashlight, candles. So you add that into it. So that's still your pantry.
Yeah, you can consider it as such, yes.
Because you're going to need it sooner or later to do what if something happens.
I would not want to store my lantern or candles in the same place I store my food.
No, I should have corrected myself there.
That's okay, though. We need to think about those things, though. We need to have a place where we can keep these items where they're convenient for us to get to. Golly, the lights go out, you need a flashlight, great. The batteries, you pick up the flashlight, the batteries are low. At that point, you probably don't have the option to run the store and get batteries. If you got batteries handy, stored, so that you can go get them. There's some other things just to consider real quick. If you have a baking skill, you'll want to especially look into having specialty flours, gluten, dried buttermilk, etc. in your pantry. Non-cooks might want more microwavable entrees in theirs. You need to gear what you have in your pantry to what you eat. The point is, just about every family can stockpile basics for your kitchen and bath. Billy Bob already mentioned some. What I might mention in addition for families who have babies, don't forget disposable diapers. Young women, don't forget your feminine hygiene products, paper napkins, food storage bags, freezer bags. Boy, they come in handy. And don't forget the can opener. Not an electric one, an old-fashioned
hand can opener.
Make sure you have one in your pantry, or someday you're going to go in there and you are going to get royally ticked off.
Yes. I also learned something, too, even with this pantry before we go halftime here. It's sometimes the food you really don't like, it could save you.
Right.
Down the road.
Better learn to eat it.
Yeah.
Store what you eat. Eat what you store. Good old-fashioned advice. Now, we are coming up on a break here. We hope that you enjoyed our little talk about the pantry, and we hope that it will give you some incentive to get yours going or get yours stocked up. Think about it. It's tax refund time. Are you going to spend that tax refund on whatever, or maybe you might want to consider taking some of that money to start building up a basic pantry? Which is going to make the more difference for you, say, a couple months down the road if the economy tanks? Just a thought. We're not asking that to happen or expecting that to happen, but maybe your economy might tank. What if gasoline goes to $5 a gallon? I mean, what if something happens where it's just not as easy or convenient for you to get to the store anymore? You're going to really be glad you took this step now to start building that old-fashioned food pantry for yourselves and your family. So, as we get ready here to take a break, any last words, Billy Bob, on this subject?
Yes. Actually use your common sense, and hopefully we are trying to not make no gloom and gloom about it. We're just trying to help you out.
It really is.
Common sense.
Common sense. That's what our grandparents had, and we're just going to invite you to.
And hopefully we don't have no more technical difficulties. Boy, I feel bad.
All right, we will see you after the break, and we're going to have a great guest for you after the break, giving us news from the underground about food storage, shelter from the storm, and much more right after the break.
Mm-hmm. WQ4D Radio enters 2012 with four diverse and entertaining shows on the Inspiring Friends Network. Never Say Impossible with your host, Myra Goldick, features guests who will inspire, motivate, and teach you innovative ways to breathe new life into your business. Old Men's Stories is hosted by master storyteller Roland Willits, whose goal is to show you that you are already a master storyteller, that your stories and your unique experience, your life's journey, are amazing and more than worth retelling. WQ4D Radio also features Prepare for Freedom, hosted by Sharon Izzy. Enjoy fun and informative weekly podcasts designed to entertain, motivate, and inspire you to take positive action towards achieving personal, emotional, economic, and spiritual freedom for yourself, your loved ones, and the country in which you live. Inspired by Bigfoot takes a look at the controversial phenomenon known as Bigfoot. Each week, guests, questions, and comments about one of the most fascinating subjects today. With your host, Bill Lee. Inspired by Bigfoot, Prepare for Freedom, Old Men's Stories, and Never Say Impossible. Check them out at WQ4D Radio on the Inspiring Friends Network.
We are back with the second half of Prepare for Freedom. This is Sharon here and Billy Bob. We've got a wonderful second half of the show for you. It might be some new information for many of you out here. For some, it might be old information with a new twist. We've got a very special gentleman we want to bring on the show here in just a minute. I want to tell you about him first. His name is Tony. I hope I pronounced your name right, Tony. Tony Krekeler, owner of Rainy Day Root Cellars, LLC. Tony was born and raised on a farm in Kentucky. The youngest of eight children, he worked with his family, raising commercial produce for a living. In the late 1980s, he left the farm to become a wilderness guide for a horse and mule packing outfit in Idaho, where he taught guide schools most of the summer in the wilderness. He also worked as a cowboy on one of the biggest ranches in the Lemhi Valley, as well as other ranches. He moved to Colorado in 2000 to start a concrete business, and during that time he met and married, and I quote, the most beautiful, kindest woman in the world. Yes, way to go, Tony. Today, Tony and his family live on their own little farm with their four great kiddos, along with their team of Haflinger mares, hogs, a few cows, chickens, goats, rabbits, an Airedale, a black mouth cur, some barn cats, and a few other horses and mules that come and go from time to time. They eat a whole lot of what they grow on the place, sell some of it, and put by a whole lot of it too. When Tony and some of his friends decided they were going to build themselves root cellars, and they lived far away from each other, Tony hit on the idea of developing a precast concrete root cellar that would do double duty as a storm shelter and teaming up with a nationwide supplier of precast vaults, now I'm guessing burial vaults here, to minimize the freight costs as much as possible. He and his friends changed things around a lot until they got the design just right, and the Rainy Day Root Cellar was born. Now, a root cellar is an amazingly versatile and useful thing to have. With one of Tony's rainy day root cellars, as in saving for a rainy day, you can keep some extra food and water where it will be safe and kept cool and secure even if the power goes out. Most important, though, whether it's a fire or a tornado or floods washing out roads, making access to stores impossible, or just about anything, your food, water, important papers, ammo, you, your family, whatever, we'll have safe shelter from the storms, whatever form they may take, in a rainy day root cellar. So, here today, sharing his wisdom from the underground with those of us above ground who are wishing we had shelter from the storm, is the man who can tell us how to dig in and get it done, Tony Krekeler. Welcome, Tony.
Well, thanks for having me. That was awful nice introduction you gave me. I don't know how much wisdom I can give you on some things, but we'll do our best.
You can give us the lowdown on root cellars, I'll bet.
You know, there's, like you mentioned in the introduction, my friends, we're all going to build some root cellars, and we started looking on the internet and whatnot, and nothing really looked like it was going to work very well. But most importantly, when we were looking through food storage and that sort of thing on the internet, we started seeing just dozens and dozens, if not hundreds, of websites that were devoted to food storage. And I don't know how many companies there are out there now that sell bulk food of various kinds, freeze-dried food, whatnot. And we started to talk about it. We thought, well, shoot, everybody's buying all this food for whatever reason. Where are they going to put it? That takes a lot of room to store a year's supply of food.
Oh, absolutely.
You know,
I'm sorry. I was just saying, Billy Bob and I were discussing that at the beginning of the show about, you know, you can store a certain amount above ground in your pantry, and everybody ought to have one. But like you say, there's also, it goes beyond that.
Oh, yeah, it does. And if you do get into storing, you know, 3 months, 6 months, a year, whatever you want to do, you want to take the best care of it as you possibly can. And sometimes people say, well, I'll put it in the garage, or, well, that's not a great place. You know, there's exhaust fumes and gasoline and mice probably, and the temperature gets real hot in the summer and cold in the wintertime. Other people put it in their attic, and that's got the same deal with the temperature fluctuations. So we thought, you know what, this would be a pretty good service for, besides what we're going to do, but for other people that might want to store their food and protect their investment in their food storage.
So what you do, put it underground, huh? Put it like,
yeah,
we
do. You know, the old, sometimes the old things are the best things.
Yeah, that's true.
For thousands of years, people have been sticking food in the ground and using the earth's temperature that stays the same to keep the temperature from freezing in the wintertime and from getting too hot in the summertime.
Oh, well, that sounds like a good idea. Well, I, you know, a lot of our listeners out here want to really know, especially me. Well, I figured it out later on in life, but I never knew what a root cellar was. And to our listeners, a lot of them probably don't know what it is. Would you consider it would be like in the movie The Wizard of Oz when they went down in the cellar?
That's exactly what it is, Billy Bob. They're, almost all of the homes, and I actually wrote a little blog about this morning on my website, but for centuries, people would have some place to go, whether it was from a storm or back in the day when there was some kind of conflict or war or any kind of feud or something, there'd be a place where they could go for safety. And a lot of times that was their root cellar, where they really built it to keep some of their crops, and mostly root crops back then. You know, they put their beets and their potatoes and turnips and rutabagas and things like that in there. But then over time, they found out it was a pretty good place to store grain, and if you had seed to sow in your field left over from this year, you wanted to save it till next year, it's a good place to put that. And I've been in some old root cellars in my life that had all sorts of things in there that people just put in there because it was special to them, and they knew that it would be safe in there.
Yeah, that brings up a question, because you have so many different people with so many different tastes, so to speak. And, you know, we would think of the root cellar like you mentioned, the roots, the food that you can keep over a long period of time, shelter from the storm. Now, aside from what we might call the normal, ordinary things that you can do with a root cellar, what are some of the extraordinary things you can do with it or you may have observed? The more extraordinary, the better right now.
Yeah. You know, I think the more you use one, the more uses you'll find for one. Basically, anything you want to keep safe. I mean, if a tornado comes by and blows your house off the foundation, if you have a foundation or a basement, probably whatever's in your basement is going to be ruined also. So it's a great place to keep your, oh, let's just say your valuable or important identification papers, you know, and I think FEMA and some of these other government outfits mentioned that you should keep a spare or a copy of passports if you have them, Social Security cards, driver's licenses, things like that, along with your wills, your mortgages, your deed to your place that you're living on, any kind of important paper that you would normally keep in a special place in your house, in a file cabinet or a safe if you have one. A root cellar is a pretty good place to keep that too. You can easily put a file cabinet down there and make copies of all those important things, and they're going to be there. If a tornado comes over or forest fires or range fires or floods or what have you, your root cellar is still going to be there. And that's just one on the paperwork. Besides that, you know, if it doesn't necessarily have to be food that you've grown traditionally. You know, if you're buying food storage from a food storage supply company in bulk and in those buckets or boxes or whatever they ship it to you in, it's a good place to keep that stuff too. It all that food should stay at a cool and reasonably constant temperature, and that's what you get with putting things underground. Besides that, you know, I've been dabbling a little bit on drying some salam, that sort of thing in there. I've my friend in Idaho that has one, he hangs some deer in the fall. You know, the neighbors will bring some deer over and they'll just hang them in there for a few days. Really, once you start using them, you'll just want to put more stuff in there than you probably should. But it's a great place to have, obviously, food. And supply of food, no matter what the time frame you're comfortable with. But your food, your water, you know, I was listening to a little bit of your first half of your broadcast today, and a lot of the things that you mentioned there would be great to keep in your root cellar because they'll be there when you need them.
Well, that's true and all. Here, I got a question for you. How do you figure out where to put one of these things at, like on your property? Where do you figure the best place? How do you figure the best place to put one on your property at?
Well, you know, ideally, the closer to you, the better. Now, that being said, my friend that I mentioned previously, his is probably about 250 feet away from his house on the other side of his garden. But it was a place that suited his property, and I guess that's not too far away. Really, if your terrain is such that it's a low-lying area where water might collect, then you probably wouldn't want to put it there. But if you did, we could still put it, you could keep it out of the ground a little bit and make it a high spot, so to speak. But obviously, if you have rocky area or something that would be hard to dig, maybe you stay away from there. You know, it's just in the old days they'd try to put them facing north. They would use the north weather or temperatures to keep things cooler. But I'm not so worried about that now. To me, it's more convenient for the homeowner, and obviously, if you have a place that floods, it wouldn't be the best place to put it.
Yeah, when I was listening to you there, a couple of questions came up because we live here in the hot and humid South, and the idea of just a hole in the ground, now I know your shelters aren't just a hole in the ground, but I'm just going to do this for a minute for fun. If you were to tell the average person, say, around here in the South, if they don't know otherwise about a root cellar, okay, that means you're going to dig a hole, maybe pour in some concrete, and you're going to have this roof over it, and you talk about a place for the critters, the ants, the humidity, the mold, all that good stuff to form, yuck. How did you solve some of these problems? Because I know you sell shelters down our way, too.
I think the most people's idea of a root cellar is a nasty, dark, scary place full of cobwebs and spiders and all sorts of things like that. These are totally sealed. There won't be any kind of critters getting in there. We put steel doors in there. Our interior doors are steel doors, like you see, like when you're a commercial building might have. And those door frames are cast into the concrete, so there's no gaps or anything there. And we actually hold those off the ground 6 or 8 inches, depending on what the owner wants. But I'd always try to leave them up 6 inches off the ground. And then that gives another, if you do get a little water in from whatever reason, that'll protect the inside then of the shelter. Our root cellars have two doors if you just buy a single room. The exterior doors are weatherproof, and they're steel and lockable. And then you go down some stairs, and there's another steel door that leads you into the main compartment. Now, we sell 2 and 3 compartment cellars also, but there's always going to be one other room besides the stairwell. But getting back to your question about digging a hole down south, you know, a lot of places the water table is going to be too high to really excavate more than a foot or two. And that's still doable. You just change the configuration. Instead of having stairs going down into it, you'll build up dirt around it. Now, that requires some dirt to be hauled in from somewhere, but you can always find dirt somewhere. Somebody's got some dirt around. But then in that case, it'd only be in the ground maybe a foot or two, and then the rest of it would be above ground. And then as far as the mold goes, we have air intake pipes that'll suck air in from the outside, and then it comes into the root cellar about a foot off the ground. And then we have an exhaust pipe in the ceiling with a turbine vent on it that I'm looking at mine right now, and it's spinning like it's going to take off because it's pretty windy today, but you can move a lot of air through there, and there's not going to be any mold in there. The air circulates real well.
Well, it sounds like they're very, as far as watertight, bug tight. It seems like you're putting a body in a vault there, and it's tight. It ain't going nowhere. Nothing getting in, nothing getting out.
No, it's not. You know, these things. Just the stairwell unit of our conventional model weighs 18,000 pounds, and then the 8 by 10, which is the second smallest one we supply on our regular ones, weighs about 30,000 pounds.
Ooh, that's a lot of work.
There's a whole lot of concrete there that is going to protect you and anything that you put in there. And then we put 3 or 4 feet of dirt on top of it, and there you have it.
What's the biggest size you can make one of those root cellars?
You know, the conventional ones that we make, the biggest size we can go up to is, well, really what limits us is the weight on the truck. You know, we can go up to an 8 by 16 that just about maxes out your common semi-flatbeds. Now, we'll stick them together. We can put them together like in a cross fashion or in a long tunnel kind of fashion, you know, whichever goes. And if that doesn't work, we pour cast-in-place concrete too. We can always tie things together. But, you know, for the most part, for most people, I think a conventional 1 or 2 or 3 room cellar from 8x8 up to 8x24 will more than handle their storage needs and their shelter needs and anything else like that. That's a lot of space.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I've got a question. We've got just about 6 minutes left on the show here. I wanted to give you time to answer a really big question, because this is something that anybody who is considering a root cellar, we know it's a substantial investment, and anybody who is considering this, they're gonna need to know the answer to this question. So I figure you're the ideal person to answer it. Here it is. With money as tight as it is today, Why would you recommend investing in a rainy day root cellar, storm shelter, over other possible property improvements? For example, if I have a choice between adding on a room or getting siding or something, why might I want to look at a root cellar instead?
Well, that's a good question. There's no doubt about it. People have to make choices in their life every day. And some folks would be just as happy to upgrade the tile in their bathroom or something like that instead of maybe looking a little bit more long term. And I think with the volatility of things these days and getting back again to the first half hour of your show today, I'm not into necessarily the doomsday stuff either. But there are some kind of strange things going on. The weather patterns are getting a little different. Food prices are going up. You know, just as an investment, if you would have bought, say, $10,000 worth of food last year, food prices on average went up almost 15%. So you could really say you made 15% on your money, and that's more than you're going to get at a bank by far.
Good point.
Yeah, that is a good point.
So really, really, it just depends on where your priorities are. If you want to put something in the ground that's going to be a shelter for your family in storms or a place to keep your valuables and a place to store some food and water if you ever need it or if the power goes out or for whatever reason, I think a better investment would be looking a little bit more towards the future and putting in a root cellar.
Great, and I agree 100%, and it's something definitely that I'm personally looking into too. You know, keeping in mind it is a substantial investment. But I also found out recently that there may still be help from FEMA available in certain parts of the country to offset the cost of building one of these. We had some people right here in the community that didn't put one of your shelters in, but they put one in similar, sounds like, to what you're offering. And they got a 75% rebate back from FEMA after they submitted all their paperwork. So there still may be some of that to help around, too, to build one. I just wanted to make sure that people were aware of that as we come into the end of the show here.
Yeah, and thanks for mentioning that, because that is a definite possibility. I don't know about too much of that. I haven't done any of those where there was government involvement, but I do know the program is out there. And after today, and we should probably mention that, you know, there is another storm today, and we should probably ask for some prayers for the folks that lost their lives today and for their families.
Yes.
The tornadoes and things seem to be getting more and more common. And when have you heard of tornadoes in February before?
Very rare. It's very, very,
yeah,
very rare. We're going to have to send our prayers out for them. But you can help us out. If you send one here to where we are, we'll put it up, and I'll put a sale on here, and I'll try to sell your buildings for you.
There you go. That's a good idea. That's a great idea. You know, if I was a little more flushed, I'd take you up on that.
I guess all about it. I'm just a businessman here. I'm just trying to sell something.
Billy Bob is an enterprising person, whether it's 2 cents or $2 million. If he can find a way to turn it for good, he's going to do it. Bless his heart.
You can't blame him for that.
Uh-uh. Well, we want to make sure people know how to get a hold of you. Tell us about your website, where they can reach you by email, phone number. Give us the details now so we can make sure people can reach you to get more information.
Okay. You can just Google Rainy Day Root Cellars and they come right up. Our website address is www.rainydayrootcellars.com. You can get a hold of me at tony@rainydayrootcellars.com. And all of our information is on our website. You can check it out. There's a whole lot of pictures. We put in all kind of installation pictures and whatnot, so you can get an idea of what we're selling and what we're doing. And I also put in there, if you have a minute, the components of what we use, and they're pretty high tech kind of industrial components. So if people want to build their own, that's great. They can get on there and see what we use and put it in their own.
Are they pretty well affordable in a lot of ways before, you know, for people that are looking for something like this?
You know, you're going to get into one for under $20,000 if you get on the small side, and that's a heck of a lot of money. and I know that. But you know what? I priced one out the other day to pour it with concrete, with just forms, you know, and it was actually cheaper to get one of these. So I don't see how I could make them any more affordable, but they still are expensive, and $20,000 is a big investment, and I do realize that.
That's why I wanted to point out, you know, you're talking about something to improve your property and improve your quality of life, and you can easily spend that much for a room addition or, you know, any kind of major home improvement work. So it's kind of in the same league here, only which investment is going to pay off the best for you, especially looking here long-term with the way the economy and the weather and everything's going.
That's right. And, there, you know, you only buy this thing once.
Right.
You'll have it forever, and if your kids stay on the place after you're gone, they'll have it forever. It's one of those things that's really not going to ever deteriorate at all.
Well, we want to thank you so much, Tony, for taking the time out of what I'm sure is a busy schedule to talk with us today. And we hope that you just have all the success in the world with your business. And hopefully maybe what you said today will touch somebody's ears and mind in a good way, and they will look into this and get a hold of you. I can't think of a better person to talk to given what you have to offer. So we thank you for being here and sharing that information with us today.
I appreciate you having me on.
All right, we'll be in touch with you again, I'm sure, and just thank you so much. We're going to let you go now and go to Billy Bob. Any last words?
Yes, we need to really say a prayer for these people that are in the tornado things, and I hope and pray that we can get over this, but I hope and pray, too, that people will use their common sense and do the right thing.
Amen to that. Common sense is what we're about here. We hope you enjoyed the show. We'll be back next week with more on the theme of common sense preparedness and preparing for freedom. And just remember, it is never too late to prepare for freedom.